colleagues, the London Something Geeks.
It's not a black thing and it's not a white thing. It's a music thing, a vibe thing, and a better way to love thing.
Something that they can relate to and something that they can believe in.
I think it's the most forward music around that's been made, simply because it's taken hip-hop beats, combined it with the reggae culture, and it's just a totally new music.
The scene is so underground, it's a word of mouth thing. You know, you tell one person and within 2 weeks everyone knows it. Hey?
Look, 2 years ago when everywhere you went, garage, they said, oh, hardcore's dead, jungle's dead, it's all dead. We carried it, kept it going, brought it to the country, and now they're keeping it going, same way.
Jungle forever.
Definitely London. It's a London thing. I mean, they're in people's bedrooms, sitting down with their computers, making music.
You know what type of struggles people go through on the streets. You know, and that's mainly street people that go to jungle, people with street cred or whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, it's all about people that come from an urban background and live, you know what I mean, in communities. Everybody call them working class or whatever, you know what I mean, but it's definitely from a street level.
No one would really look at the British culture and say, okay, Britain's got its own identification, but, you know, people ignore that and just use it as a dumping ground. Belgium had a lot of influence in the music industry in Britain, saying that they were running for 2 years, just pumping out their stuff into Britain. And being a Londoner, I said, I've had enough of that sort of sound, the wrong direction, bringing us all into somewhere we don't know where we're going. So that's when Ibiza sort of came about.
But it never actually happened, like...
It wasn't like all of a sudden there was a jungle
got together and, like, all of a sudden there was 1,000 jungle records made. It didn't happen like that. It just crept in, and I think the way that it crept in was through Ibiza Records, Reinforced Records. To me, they were the two main people that was creeping in. Paul, definitely Ibiza Records, was the first person that started creeping in. Reggae influence, sounds...
And it worked. The sound elements worked, the rugged influence worked. And I said to myself, right, I know what direction I'm going to, because my dad's got untold reggae music sitting at home, you know?
Once the people got the taste of this stuff and they knew that it was working, more people obviously start going to work on it, and it got more and more and more, and all of a sudden the word jungle appears. And
it started with a lot of import, Detroit stuff, hardcore acid. Then it was taken over by East Londoners to kind of put the breakbeat thing into it. Mix the techno Detroit stuff with hip-hop breakbeats. Then it started getting a little faster, and that's where the changes really come into it.
When we first come into the rave scene, about 1990, it was like, it was all techno stuff. You know what I mean? With a few of the tunes had like a bit of reggae in it, like a little caption from a reggae tune, but most of it was techno stuff, you know what I mean, hardcore, like foot drums and loads of different psychedelic noises, you know what I mean. It was good, you know, we enjoyed it, but we never used to like rave talk.
The first rave I ever went to was I can't recall the exact name. I think it was called Energy, the rave, but it was in Cambridge, and the Ragatons took me there, and I can remember being cold, freezing cold, and I just went into the music, and I was standing up there and I was screaming at my face, and then one evening coming to Astoria, and some DJ was playing, and he played this tune, We Are You, right, and that was it, mate. V-I-E. See? That's why you gotta big up man like Lenny the Ice from Arms House Crew. Right, because to me, that tune there was a major influence into the whole of the jungle scene right now. That tune was like
when we came in, we started mixing up the ragga or the reggae with like the techno and the hip hop, and it had a nice sound to it.
Started them scene with the Ragga Twins, but they weren't actually called the Ragga Twins at the time. They were still Demon Rockers and Flinty Badman.
Well, if a prison you a go,
then go and go serve your time.
And if you're free of that prison,
then don't commit crime.
If a prison you a go,
then go and go serve your time.
If you're free of that prison,
then don't commit crime.
What, Flinty?
What, Demon?
A rude boy rock me near my prison. 10 years me get a me a take it like a man, and me nah look nothing pity from no one. Me run this a place from top to bottom, and the navigator him a me right hand man. But Flinty, oh you look so frightened.
Me no frightened, me a feel tension.
Tension?
What you talking about?
You see the boy over there so him eyeball me out.
Oh, him?
Yes, him.
So, don't worry. In can't get take liberty.
We can't do it, that's the cassette, see? That is me tension immediately.
Like most of the youths, them back like 2 years ago, you'd have seen in a ragga dance. They're all in the jungle raves.
When you go to jungle raves, you walk in and there's no space to dance. Everyone's in the middle, everyone's dancing, everyone's happy. Because it creates those hyper vibes.
I like memes, obviously. If the song is good and it's dropping well, then they want the DJ to stop and start.
Rewind.
And that tune drops, and you know what tune it is. Everyone knows what tune it is. Mm. The buzz is unreal, it is. It's unreal. You can't get another one like it.
That's another reason why I'm involved in the jungle music, because it's brought a lot of people together. You know what I mean? Like certain men, a few years ago, they wouldn't dream of talking to a white person, and the same the other way around. But now, we're all under one roof raving, laughing and joking together, you know what I mean?
Roast would have stood in there and took all the flack. Jungle wouldn't have got as far as it has today.
Just gone into mythology, like, people just carry on, they heard a bit of a tape and they say, yeah, and people say, oh, I was there, when you know they weren't. And to me, that means they want to be associated with it. And that's ain't good.
They come to roast, not in old raggy clothes like now these days. They come, they put trousers on, they put shoes on, they do themselves up. They go like they was going to an old dance, because it sort of swung to that. It's like Moose turned around one day and said, we got the dance with the new stylee.
The people was getting knocked back from clubs like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a lot of black people was getting knocked back from clubs and that, and couldn't get in certain white people too. And Jungle brought them into the clubs.
The reason I think they might have got turned down from another club is their appearance.
And look how they dress.
And the way they dress, yeah. They do look a bit...
I think a lot of security take it on face value.
They do, which is a shame. And some security out there, not mentioning the game, no names, are racist and
slow down.
As the music progressed into jungle, the scene changed. Everyone who was on the house scene moved away from roast. They left us. And they said, you're not going to do nothing, you're just promoting darkness.
Promoter would say, oh, you know, don't play too jungly, or don't play too dark, or whatever, or whatever. But nah, the same promoters who were saying that, and I turning around and saying, yeah, you know, I've always supported jungle. You know, I've always supported jungle, but, you know, they got short memories, you know, I could still remember.
Jungle is viewed as just basically a black musical form. House music was never viewed as a black musical form, even though its origins were black. It was looked on as a multicultural musical form. Jungle is not looked on like that. Jungle is looked on like as the ragamuffin of house. If you want to go, you can't go to certain jungle raves because, you know, them black guys there, they might just whatever, and it's kind of rough and, you know, it's a bit dangerous, which is all the stereotypes are creeping back in. Because it's now a black and white thing, that's why it's even worse. That's why the segregation is even more so being perpetrated by the media.
When I'm playing, I don't really check that I'm trying to put a tune in fast or try to put a tune in slow. You just play it to the you play it for how long the people you presume the people are gonna dance for. You know, you just look at them. You've got to keep your eye on the crowd. Somebody told me that one time, long, long time ago, when I used to do scratching. I used to be scratching and scratching and scratching away. And when I looked, you know, and I, to me, I'm doing the best thing on earth, and I'm scratching away. And when I looked up now, well, actually, no, I don't think I ever did look up. Until somebody said to me, Ron, you know what I mean? Look at what you're doing. And when I looked up, everybody was just sort of like standing there, staring. No one was dancing, nothing like that. And from then, it just sort of like stuck with me that if you're going to DJ, you just got to look up and play for the people.
See, like, all the DJs here, we all kind of graduated together. The originators are Fabio and Groove Rider. There are no other, you know, like, forefront of our scene.
I think that the samples that I use reflect the way, like, how I am making my music. Do you know what I mean? You know, people, you know, name, like, people, for example, like, Goldie, like, Groove Rider. That's another very good example. You know, the guys who do the Tom and Jerry stuff, generally a lot of the Reinforced guys, you know, they're just this grown-up sort of air to their music.
That's what's happening there. More and more people are growing within the music. Like, say they were 16 then, they've started, like, producing. They're starting to mature now. And that's why the music will become better and better.
Even before Terminator, all the early Four Hero stuff, we've always like strived to use original breaks and original ideas. Yeah? And when Goldie came along, he kind of enhanced it, kind of, you know, he made us think of things that we wasn't really doing. We're responsible for a lot of new ideas and made us just feed off that.
Mixmag. DJ Magazine, worst offender of it at all. They basically put the scene down and say it doesn't exist anymore, let's forget about it. And what they don't seem to realise is people in that scene making music that is far better than anything else being made in the UK. And that will always happen. Because one thing about the breakbeat scene, it is innovative in its own way. There are certain individuals making tracks that blow away all the house stuff being made in the UK, but they won't accept it.
It's the only music around that's really challenging technology at the moment. And utilising all the technology that's around to its fullest. Since I've been going to the roads, I've seen Direction again. It's the first place that has really buzzed me for about a year. And Moose, that's thanks to Moose, has shown me that scene.
I bring the buzz element, that's what I say.
It's getting more musical, you know? People are thinking about what they're doing. There was a time when music was being made, and everyone was just putting in regga samples, and it wasn't really meaning nothing. But if you listen to the music now, you know, it's got harmonies, it's got violins, it's music.
There's certain tunes that are delivering different styles of jungle. Jungle isn't just one thing, as I said before. Jungle covers a whole variety of different elements. It's only that certain people are hearing certain tunes and saying, oh, that's jungle.
The mass media never take it seriously because they'll only be in it as long as it's making them money. Do you know what I mean? It's the same with anything really. If you believe in it strongly, and we do, this is why our scene is underground, do you know what I mean? But yet, saying that, we still have the biggest parties going about.
A lot of two decks was started from the hip-hop scene with the scratching of one deck to two decks, yeah? Well, then it moved on to the hardcore scene, mixing up two beats. A lot of the DJs followed the fashion of chopping up with the crossfader. But as the music got a lot more technical with the combination of break beats in one track, it became a bit too much for the hard ears to follow. So where Randall had kind of got the advantage was that he kind of made it seem like it was a two-hour session of one song. The blending of the tunes there, carefully selected and cut across at the right time without this chopping up, which just made everyone easier to follow the beats. And this from the
Paradise Club, what's good about it is the sound, and because it's a closed off, it's not a big venue, it's just like a venue that's just like, it holds just the right people so they can get a vibe in there, you know, and people come up there to hear their tunes, a lot of DJs pass through and everything. It's like everyone knows each other.
People go into a club and stand about looking good all night and then leave a club and then you ask that you talk to them people and they say there's a good night in there. They couldn't really tell you because they probably haven't listened to the music. So they're obviously more into the club than what they are, the DJs and the music. This thing is more about the music.
The majority of the youth today listening to pirate stations, it's like a network. You've got the label with the company, you've got the radio station for plugging the stuff, and then in turn they come into the shop, they listen to it also in a rave. The DJ comes in and buys the records in the shop and then he'll play it out.
Certain music that's getting played out there doesn't get what it deserves, doesn't get the promotion that it deserves, and pirate stations are willing to take on that music, namely jungle, breakbeat, hardcore music, you know, and it's the pirate stations that are giving that music the outlet, so that a lot, if you can't afford to go to raves, at least you can tune in on your radio.
A good thing about pirates to me is that you get to communicate with a lot of people, you know, just, that's the main thing with me, it's just the atmosphere, the family atmosphere.
Like, we have some regulars who we hear, they send out shouts to different people, and they hear other people that phone up just as regular. And after a while, it's like, yeah, they send out a shout to the regular caller. And that regular caller said one back out to them. And the next minute you hear, they're both ringing from the same house.
Some geezer, oh, Sunday man. Afternoon, sun blazing, cool FM blazing across London. Some geezer phones up from Brixton. And he goes, yeah, mate, listen, I just wanted to tell you, right? I turned up my baseline on my speakers and everything. Like, I'm blowing out all the windows.
Blowing out the windows.
Police out here and everything, mate. And it's all gone off. Like, killing myself. And then there's people like phoning up saying, what happened to that geezer in Brixton?
We're blowing out.
Pirate radio is like, for me, it's a part of my life. Yeah, you know, it's not like it's a hobby. It's a part of my life, 7 days a week. You know, it's like it's a job.
No boosting or nothing, but when nothing's on, I hear stories coming back to me saying, oh yeah, down, fly, fly, fly.
all the people are telling me about how you lot are good on the radio. Man, no one knows about us, really. No one really knows about it, so it's cool.
Money don't slip, trip, bust slip. G's on the mic, get ready for it. Brand new style for 1993. G's on the mic, run, come follow me. I just kind of roll with the DJs, I mean, it depends what kind of vibe he's letting off.
Moose's MCing before was different to what his MCing is now. Sometimes he's just talking, and other times he's toasting. And the same with 5-0, same with GQ and people like that as well.
And this is like a part of my musical history, as well as the community and crew here. See, DJs in action. And this has all changed, like, throughout the years, to try and suit the community. Everyone around here seems to know my face because of music and how long I've been playing music, whether it be parties, christening, or the radio station where I took you, you know, where I first was the first one to be playing, like, jungle and house.
I play all types of music. You know me as an acid man now, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, I didn't originate from acid, did I?
No.
Right, so this is where I originate from. So, as a...
In the reggae beast, right. Playing reggae.
Yeah.
So there we go. We have that to discuss. Why have you gone to acid and not stopped playing reggae?
I haven't.
Right.
I haven't. You know I haven't. It ain't going to be accepted in Harlem just like that until they hear the reggae orientation of it. Once they hear that, then it'll be accepted. It's starting to be slowly, but they need to pick up on the reggae side of it, like I was saying to you with Jerry back in Hawkeye then. You see, the first thing he says is I've sold out, but I've not sold out. I'm trying to pick up what he's doing in the music I'm doing by chatting reggae slang on jungle music.
I'm proud of it. Yeah. And we want to brighten up the house and the area and give a better image.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to... With the music, it doesn't matter whether it's music or people.
Yes,
there's still a communication between everybody all ages.
Yeah. With me and Moose, we've got a rapport with us. We've got a telepathy between us. In West Indian terms, coot to coot, notch is notch. And we respect all article root words for that. Meaning... The notches, they know you know how to behave yourself, and if you want to become a notch, you should have showed the right attitude within the race.
I wasn't really into it at first, but it's just got better.
Taken over, eh?
Definitely.
Like a drug, get addicted to it.
Definitely.
All those closet jungle is like Rebel Sin. Get out the closet, man. You've got too many skeletons you're hiding.
It's true, man.
It's because of public demand why all the bad things that have ever been said about jungle, they've been futile, because the jungle's still here. It's even stronger than what it was before.
Yeah, it's made me look at life in a different way, really. You know what I mean? When I was younger, I just wanted things quickly. You know what I mean? I wanted my car quickly. I wanted my bike quickly. I wanted them clothes quickly. But now, because I'm involved in something constructive for the first time in my life, I'm prepared to wait. You know what I mean? I'm not in no hurry now, because it's not going away. It's there to stay. As long as I don't mess up in it, then it'll be there for me. You know what I mean? Because, like, before I started DJing, and before I started working on the London Transport, I was always in and out of prison. And I never had a future. But then the last sentence I'd done, I came out in 1986, and I thought to myself, I can't go back to jail again. I'm a big man now, you know what I mean? I've got to try and sort something out. And lucky for me, the rave scene started. And I just got involved with that. And made something of myself.
Really, this is just an era we're in now, this jungle scene, because not so long ago there was another era with the sound systems and what, and all the DJs who are going to be watching this program. them who were around in those days, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Some people were well known then, and they've come through and they're now in this scene and they're well known now. It's just one of those things, it's just a progression.
You like jungle music?
Jungle is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's alright,
for
Hard House, man.
Yeah? Yeah? What is it, jungle is, mate? Hard House is not getting it,
yeah,
mate.
You're the rat pack.
This is MC Moose, Vibo, Navigator, okay? Rat pack, who's that?